Praise the Lord. All right, let's bring some fire in the house. Fire in the house. For the way we're ending this year is how we're going to begin next year. So I don't want to end it in sadness. I don't want to end it in grief. I don't want to end it in offense. Because I want to begin next year with hope. Hope, it's a beautiful word when you have it. Hope is a beautiful word. Hallelujah. I just want to thank Pastor Patty and Pastor Alex for, you know, giving me the opportunity to speak here and to release the word of the Lord here. It's always good. I enjoy your company. I hope you enjoy mine. We have a lot of fun. God is good. God is good. You know, this week I was thinking about some things that was happening to me at work, and, you know, hence my message. Because I realized the way we end 2024 is going to be the way we begin it, 2025. And in 2024, I had some challenges on the job, and I was thinking about those challenges just in the last week. You know, over Christmas, you have some time to think. You have some time to reflect, and the Lord really wants us to do that. This is our time to reflect. What happened to me in 2024? What happened to my family? Did my finances dry up? Did I leave one church and attend another? Did I walk away from God at some point and came back and walk away again? Did I have some relationship issues? It's time to reflect. For 2025, it's a year of prosperity. It's the year of breakthrough. It's going to be the year of hope restored to many. So I want to tell you, as we reflect now of what's happened, this is the time to release it to the Lord. For many of us cried this year. Many of us wept this year. Many of us suffered loss. And many of us felt that there was no hope. But my people of God, the royal priesthood and his holy nation that you are, I want you to know that God never dropped the ball when it came to one of us. When it came to one of his kids, he didn't drop the ball. He never said, I'm going to leave you alone for a while. He never would do it. He will never do it. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you, even in your tears, even when you mourned, even when your paycheck didn't come in, even when that marriage you expected didn't happen. Jesus never dropped the ball. I was reflecting because, you know, I wanted to spend some time with Pastor Patty on, I think it was January 23rd. She invited me out. We were going to go spend a day together. And I remember requesting that time off from my boss. I'm not one that takes time off. There are people on the job. This is my friend Suzanne. She's worked with me 35 years at the hospital, so she knows. There are people in the hospital system where we work. If they get a hangnail today, they're off for a week. Okay? But I was never one of those people. So I had expectations. I wanted to go spend a day with Pastor Patty January 23rd. And it was going to be a good day. And I thought, great, we're going to be together. I don't have the time to be with her as I would like to. And she probably doesn't have the time to be with me because I know she loves me. I know she does. And we were going to have that day. So I requested it 2 weeks before that day came. I requested it in writing. Could I please have this day off? And I was told to wait and wait. And one of my co-workers received 2 days off. And when I said, what happened to my day? Oh, I'm sorry, we can't give it to you. That was a moment where I could have been offended. And people would say, you have the right. You requested that day from your boss. You didn't receive it. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to go to work. I had to tell Pastor Patty, I can't spend that day with you. It's like spending the day with one of your favorite people. You plan it. You want it to happen. And then you realize it can't. But you know what I could have done? I could have called in sick. Because people do that. If you don't give me what I want, I'm going to get it another way. And I thought, wait a minute. I'm a child of the King. This isn't how we work. This isn't how we operate. I was refused that day. And I said, I'm going to work. I'm going to do my job. I'm not going to slander my boss, even though other people wanted me to, because they saw, this is unjust. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do it. And so what I did instead is I requested this Friday off, just last Friday off. And I thought, surely I'm going to get that day. I'm going to get that Friday. I put in my request. I waited and I waited. I heard nothing back. I asked the assistant managers, did my boss grant me that day off? She said, we haven't heard yet. We're going to discuss it at a meeting. And I thought, what's going on here? Usually I request a day off. I find out right then, of course you could go. Well, Thursday came. 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm going home at 4:30. So I went into the office and I said, did I receive that day off? You know how sweet I am? I'm not going to walk in there and be mean to him. Did I receive that day off? You know what happened? He said, no. You did not receive that day off. Should I be angry now? Is it time now for me to be angry? What do you think? Is it the time? 2 times I requested, 2 times I was denied. Should we continue to walk in love when we're denied something we feel is just? It was not an unjust request, it was simple. And the Lord began to speak to me about those things that happened to us in 2024. Those moments when we were denied. The moments where the door was shut in our face and said, you don't have access. There were moments when people looked at us and said, you don't deserve it. You're not worthy. How many know what it's like to be denied, to be turned away, to be considered less? Well, that's what my message is about this morning. How could this happen to me? How could this happen to me? How could my child come home from school and be told, you're suspended because you stood up to a bully? How could this happen to me? Well, now the end of 2024, the Lord wants us to look at those moments in our lives in the last 364 days when we were denied and rejected, where we were told we were not worthy, when we were pushed around. Did we know that God didn't leave us? He didn't forsake us. I want to talk to you about my friend Joseph. He's one of my favorite Bible characters, my favorite Bible people. And I want to start at Genesis 39. We'll start at 19 to 23. And I have the New King James. So you know about Joseph. Joseph had the dream. He was the dreamer. He wore the coat of many colors. He was his father's favorite. And his brothers didn't like that, so they sold him as a slave in Egypt. And in Genesis 39, we just pick up the story. It says, so it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him. This is the time when Joseph is already sold. He's already lost his family. He's already lost everything. And he's thinking, what else can I lose? What else can they take from me? And he's accused of raping this woman that he never touched. What more can they take from me? Why is this happening to me? Do I have the right to protest? Do I have the right to go to God and say, you're not faithful to me? Do I have the right to shake my fists at the world? So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant, she's accusing Joseph, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. And then Joseph's master took him. The master's wife accused Joseph of raping her, and he never touched her. And then the master took him and put him where? Where did he put him? In a hotel? No, he put him in a
dungeon.
Yeah. It's not, you can't even call it a prison. It's a dungeon. An accusation against your life. It's already, things have already gone from bad to worse. And now I'm being accused of a crime I didn't commit. And my punishment for something I did not do is you're going to put me in a dungeon, which is a hole in the ground. There's no light. There's people around you. And if you walk into them, it's going to be a big bump because you can't see. Accusations against the brethren is something that God takes seriously when his kids are accused. Not only when we're denied, when we're rejected, when we're accused. And I wonder if in that moment Joseph counted it all joy. Because Paul says, count it all joy. When these things happen to you, he threw him in a dungeon, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. Do you hear me, people of God? In 2024, when the decisions were hard to be made, when your kids ran out, when the money ran out, when your family ran out, the word says the Lord was with Joseph. Was the Lord with me in this last test? I believe I'm going through a season of testing and trial on my job. They're testing, and I don't believe it's man that's doing the test. Sometimes when we're going through these moments of trials, we think it's something I've done or someone has done this to me. But the Lord wants us to know sometimes our trials is because of him. He's got his hand on our lives. And sometimes, yes, it's hard. And we can't admit that Jesus is putting me in this place of confinement. We think it's our mother or our father or our boss or whoever. But the Lord's putting me in this place of confinement because he's trying to refine me. He's trying to refine me. He's trying to see if I will slander those who slander me. He's trying to see, have I grown in my faith so that I can look past what has happened to me? Can I look past shaking my fists at the Lord and say, look what you did to my kids? Can I look past this and still glorify God? If you're in a dungeon, if you're in a dark place, do we still believe that God is still with us? He will never leave us. And I want you to know, Jesus doesn't just say something, I will never leave you or forsake you. He actually will put you in a situation where he proves it. And that's what we don't like. We don't like the place where we're confined, because Jesus is trying to prove to you that his word is true. Because many people say things, but it's what they do that matters. And Jesus wants us to know he's not like man. And when he says, I will never leave you or forsake you, he proves it. My words are true. My words are life. My promises made to you will come to pass because I watch over my word to perform it. And Joseph was in this place where he was sold by his brothers, those whom he loved, sold them into slavery and lied to his father that he died. If it wasn't bad enough, now I'm in a dungeon. And Jesus shows up and he says, Joseph, I am with you in this place. My God. But he doesn't just say it. He's going to prove it. Because sometimes we need the proof. In our generation, we don't trust much. We hear a lot of things. But we want the proof. Well, Jesus will prove it. So while Joseph is in prison, the Lord was with him and the Lord showed him mercy. Mercy. When I was denied those two Fridays off for whatever my reasons, I knew I was being tested, not by man, but by God. Because sometimes the Lord wants to test to see how far we've come. How much have we learned in 2024? Did it build our character? Did it move us to a place of faith? Did it cause us to forgive and let go? You see, we have to be tested to see how strong we are. For 2025 will require all of you. All of you, all of you. We have places in our lives where we hide. But 2025 is going to require all of you. And so in 2024, you've been tested, you've been tried. Jesus promised something, and you still have not seen the faithfulness of the Lord. Well, Joseph didn't see it at that time either. God tested Joseph in the dungeon. Can he proclaim the faithfulness of God to someone else when he has not seen God's faithfulness for himself? You see, when I was denied the two Fridays off, you think it was something small, but to me it mattered. It mattered. It hadn't happened to me before. But I believe the Lord was testing our chain. He's testing our armor. Is your armor strong? Will you go back to slander? Will you go back to gossip? Will you talk about your boss? Will you put him down? All of this tests us. We're tested when we're denied. We're tested when we're rejected. We're tested when the doors get slammed in our face. We are tested when we thought what was supposed to happen didn't come. We're tested, but it's never to break us. It's always to see where we're at. The Lord wants us to know where we're at. This is where you are. In 2024, so in 2025, I have to walk with you and talk with you and continue even to spoon feed us when he wants to give us meat. He wants to see if we no longer need milk, if we're ready for the meat of the word. Joseph was tested because the Lord had a plan, because the Lord had a breakthrough for him. Just like Pastor Patty sang this morning, breakthrough's coming. Well, there was breakthrough for Joseph. You see, the dream had not come to pass yet when his brothers would bow down before him. It hadn't happened yet. Even in his testing, he's long forgotten that dream. If I'm in a dungeon, I'm not going to remember that. That's not going to be my daily walk. It's going to be what slice of stale bread I'm getting for dinner and how much water I'm going to have to drink. Am I going to be sleeping on this stone or that stone? We long forget the promises of God sometimes in our season of testing. But when the Lord is ready to bring us the breakthrough, he sets us up. He sets us up the same way he set up Joseph. Let me continue a little bit with Joseph here. I can't read the whole story. We don't have a lot of time. But while Joseph is in prison, he meets the butler and the baker who works for Pharaoh. And they had dreams. And would you believe the Lord tested Joseph again? You have not yet seen my faithfulness, but I'm going to send these two men to you to show them how faithful I truly am. Do you understand the Lord uses us even in our broken place, in our place of rejection? And he says, Pastor Alex, you've lost something, but in your loss, I want you to minister to someone else who's experienced loss. And we could turn God away and say, can't you see me? I don't have the time. I don't have the strength. How is it you're asking me to run the king's way? How is it you're asking me to feed the poor and I don't have any food in my refrigerator? How is it you're asking me to put gas in that person's car when I don't even have a car? Sometimes we think God is illogical. We don't understand how he thinks about things. We love God, but we just don't like the way he does things. We love God, but how he does things doesn't make sense to us. I'm in a dungeon here, God, for something I didn't do, for a slander against me, an accusation against me. And while I'm here, I'm looking after the place. They've put me in charge of looking after all the other prisoners. I'm a prisoner. Did you forget about me? You see, that happens to us on our way to maturity, when God's building character, when he is strengthening our resolve, when he's causing us to walk on the firm foundation that is the word. It is hard to break the fleshly desires that we have. But Paul says, kill your flesh. We have to kill our flesh. You think God has a sense of humor? There's Joseph in prison. He needs help himself. And God sends him the butler and the baker who works for the man who runs this whole thing. I got in here for I've been accused of something I didn't do, and now I've got to help them. But you see, God was testing Joseph's faithfulness the way he tests ours. When things go wrong, do we see you in church? When things go wrong, do I come online? When things go wrong, do I walk away from the house of God and say, I'll come back when things are better, when I figure it out? He tests us because he wants to prove himself through us. In Genesis 40, verse 5 to 8, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream. I'm a prisoner. My life is broken. I don't know if I'll ever see my father again. But these two men need my help. Both of them had a dream. And each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. Don't you think Joseph was sad? For you see, even in our brokenness, there are others who are grieving. Even in our sadness, there are others who are sad. And the Lord tests us to see where we're at. Yes, I know you have a need, but so does the 20 others around you. Will you deny yourself to help them? The testing is not always easy, but it's for a good purpose. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of the Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter who can interpret it for us." So Joseph said to them, "Well, it's not my problem. I got a stone to lay on tonight. I'm eating a piece of crusty bread. Your problem is not my problem." We do that. My kids need food. I need to put gas in my car. Your problem isn't my problem. And we're tested in that moment in God. Will you deny yourself? Will you deny your own story and give food to someone in need? Will you share your coat with someone in need? Will you use your gifts to be a blessing to someone who's in far greater need than you? We've been tested, not by man, but by God. Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Do not interpretations belong to God?" He denied himself. He denied his flesh, where he was probably grieving from missing his father, from feeling betrayed by his brothers, by knowing he'll probably never eat the rich food that his father brought to the table again. And a piece of stale bread and water is all I have, and I don't know how long I'll be in this place, but someone needs help, and it's help that only my God can give. And what did Joseph do? Joseph interpreted their dreams. He didn't slander God. He didn't put God down. He didn't say, "I'm never going to serve that again." He said, "Doesn't my God know how to interpret your dream?" When we're tested to see where we're at. Just like Job was tested, will you deny God? Will you throw him out of your life? Will you deny God? Or will you continue to walk with him? For he promised, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." Joseph interpreted the dreams. And I went to work both Fridays. And yes, the temptation came for me to call in sick. I wanted to go be with Pastor Patty. I could call in sick, and I was telling my friend Suzanne, "I'm going to work because this is my God whom I serve. I've got to walk the talk. I'm not going to do what's easy. in times of trials, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Show yourself strong in the Lord in times of testing. It's too easy to give that flippant remark, I'm not doing it. I'm not taking out the garbage. I'm not doing this for you. It's easy to do that. But what's hard is to do what God purposed for us to do in the moment, and that is to walk in love and not offense. Joseph had many reasons to be offended. He had many reasons to be filled with resentment, but he chose the latter and said, my God can interpret your dream. He held on to who his God was. He held on to the God that he knew. I will never leave you or forsake you. And we see the end of Joseph. After all of the story has been told, Joseph got called to go to the Pharaoh's house to get cleaned up, to get washed up, because the Pharaoh heard that this man could interpret dreams. What if Joseph had missed his moment and refused to interpret the dream, gave that flippant remark, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna help my boss. I'm not gonna help my sister. I'm not gonna help my brother. What if we miss our moment when God is saying, this is the moment of promotion. Will you pass the test? Many of us will have that opportunity in 2025. Our moment of promotion is at our door, but we have to pass this test. We have to be sustained in the trials and in the tribulation. For the Lord said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And in all of this, Joseph became prime minister over the whole nation because he passed the test. The Lord is saying to you, people of God, his royal priesthood, his holy nation, pass the test because I want to do good to you. I want to bless you. I want to honor you. I want to lift you up. Don't hesitate to write that test. Pass the test. You know how good I feel now? I got denied on the 23rd of December, and I got denied on the 27th. And since I didn't slander, since I didn't gossip, since I went to work, I feel so good now. I feel I passed the test. I feel I passed that test. I could have called in sick and still had my days off, but I said, I'm not going to do it the easy way. I'm going to do it God's way. There are many a moments in our lives in 2024 where the Lord tested us. Will you do the easy thing or will you do the God thing? This is our time to shine. 2025 is our season of breakthrough, promotion, prosperity. The Lord has many things he wants to pour out. He has a billion ways to bless his people. But he's waiting for us to pass the test so that he can elevate us to a greater place of blessing, to a greater place of promotion. And you see, if he couldn't trust Joseph with the little thing of his obedience to the Lord, even under trial, then how could he promote him to be prime minister of Egypt? And that's what the Lord is saying to us. If I can't trust you with the little thing, how can I give you that big thing we want? Captain over industry, political leader, teacher, lawyer, doctor. If I can't trust you with the little thing, I can't promote you to the big thing. And God wants to promote us. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to be set free of any offense, any resentment. I want you to begin to think about that now. I want you to really just let Holy Spirit move over your heart. Was there moments when I was resentful of God? Were there moments when I was going through a trial and I didn't know I was being tried? And I failed the test. The Lord says all these things, he wants to wipe them away so that we have a clean slate in 2025, so that we have a brand new beginning. I want a new beginning. Do you want a new beginning? Raise your hands. Many people are starting over. The Lord wants us to begin again. You're saying, God, I have been a failure. I have made so many mistakes. But the Lord says, I will never leave you or forsake you, even in any of your mistakes. I have a new beginning planned. But let's wipe the slate clean of all those things that we need to let go. Resentment, bitterness, offense. It's time to walk free. Submit yourselves to the Lord. 1 Peter 2:13-17. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Ha! Including my boss. Did you get that? 1 Peter 2:13-17. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, including the one who shut the door, the one who rejected you, the one that said you weren't worthy. For you see, the Lord wants his people to walk at a higher place. He wants his people to walk at a higher place where offense no longer bothers us, where the rejection is something we just, you know what? I'm going to go on with my God. I've been rejected, but God has not rejected me. I've been offended, but God has not offended me. We're going to continue to walk with the Lord and shake off those things that kept us bound in 2024. I want to invite you to the altar today. I want to invite you there because I had to go there and I had to say, Lord, I thank you for showing me your ways. So that I didn't walk into my boss's office and call him every name in the book like I've seen people do. I kept my tongue in my mouth. And I went and sat at my desk, turned on my computer, and I did my work. And when he walked by, I said, hi. I said, how was your holidays? And I want you to know it was hard. Some of the things the Lord has asked us to do is not easy. It's hard to look in the face of someone who hurt you. But oh, how wonderful it is when we forgive and we release that pain. That's what God wants for us today, to forgive. I want you, everybody, to stand up. I'm giving you lots of time. Because I had to do it before the Lord. I sat in my prayer chair at home and I said, God, this person has hurt me. Whatever he's holding against me, I do not know. But this mattered to me. And I forgive him. I forgive him. Many of us may need to forgive someone right now. I want you to come on up. Come on up. This is the house of your daddy. It's the house of your God. It's the house of your king. He's not going to deny you. Come on up and tell him, I shouldn't have done this. I should not have treated them that way, because the word says, do not reward evil with evil. We reward evil with good. And I made some mistakes, and I'm sorry, Lord. I want to go into 2025 with a clean slate. Clean my heart, oh God. Like David says, renew a right spirit in me, oh God. For the promotion I thought I would get in 2024, it didn't come. The person I thought was going to marry me didn't say yes. I got denied in my immigration. I got denied, and the doors were shut. And I held offense, I held resentment, and I held bitterness, and I ask you to forgive me, Lord. I want you to, I'm just going to go quiet, and I just want you to talk to the Lord. Let it go. Let it go. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. The word says, live as free people. But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Does that mean our government right now? We're not happy with our government. And we have said things. I want you to repent with me. We have said things about our prime minister. We have shaken our fists at the whole system. But the Lord says we are to respect and honor their place of authority. And if that is hard, I am asking you to let it go. Let it go. Because God can clean up our nation in ways that we cannot. Father God, even now, we come to you in repentance as 2024 draws to a close and 2025 opens up. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, for whatever we've held against our governmental system. We just ask you, God, to forgive us. For your word says to show respect and honor to our emperor. He didn't say if he was good. So we thank you for them. We thank you for the people in leadership, God. We know you can handle these situations that we cannot. We ask you to forgive us for any unrighteous thoughts, for any slander or gossip that we have done. We ask you to forgive us for things we have said in the area of employment, things we have said in the areas of our relationship. We repent, we repent, we repent, and we repent on behalf of your people in this body. We're asking you to forgive us. For Joseph never shook his fist while he was in the dungeon. He honored the Lord. And God, we want to honor you with the issue of our heart. We're asking you, God, to create a clean heart in us as 2024 ends. Create a clean heart in us, oh God. Renew a right spirit in us. Cast us not away from your presence, O Lord. And send not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore unto us the joy of your salvation. And renew a right spirit in us. So that when we leave 2024 and we walk into 2025, we're walking into a new beginning, a new place of holiness, a higher place in you, a deeper walk in you. Help us, Lord. We just ask you to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us, Lord, for the thoughts we've been having against our brother or our sister, any thoughts of adultery. Cleanse our heart, O God, from the thoughts we have against the people in our sphere of influence. We ask you, God, forgive us from all bitterness, anger, resentment, offense. And we're asking you, God, for your peace that passes all understanding. That you would bring healing in our lives in a deeper way. That you would bring healing in our lives in a greater way. For we want to serve you in 2025 with a clean heart and some pure thoughts towards you, O Lord. Renew a right spirit in us this morning. Renew a right spirit in us. For we know you are faithful and just to forgive us of all sins.